Hello, and welcome to Defining Sickle Cell, a conversation that explores a sickle cell warrior's approach to their lifestyle of living with sickle cell. Our first guest today is Nicole Long. She's going to be having a conversation with us about her approach to sickle cell. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. Hello.
So first off, we want to just talk about basically your lifestyle of living with sickle cell, of course, but can you talk about first about being diagnosed and how old you were?
I was 20 months old.
So that makes you a baby at that time. So is there anything that your parents ever said about that when they found out about your diagnosis?
I know that they were surprised that I had sickle cell anemia because I was the second child. At the time, the education presented that you could have three children and your fourth child would be sickle cell anemic, and the first three would be either trait or non-trait or normal, I guess. But what we know now is that it's 25% chance of every single pregnancy that you have. So they were planning on having three children, but they stopped because I had sickle cell.
Okay, so that's probably from their perspective. So at what age do you remember knowing that you had something that kind of separated you from other people?
I think I knew by the age of two. Other children could play, and I could play sometimes, most of the time actually, but there were times that I would hurt. And when I hurt, I would have to put what we call a pain crisis in my arm, and I would have to put my arm in a sling, and my mom would give me probably children's Tylenol or children's aspirin at the time for the pain, and then she would have me sit still. So I always had to stop playing at that point.
And you noticed that with other kids continue to play and you couldn't any longer? Do you actually remember that?
I mean, I remember that, yes, I do. And then I remember that through, like, that same kind of activity through the age of 4 or 5. Yes.
So the next question would probably be along the lines of, now you're getting older, you do know you have something. Does this stop you from living, or does this make you want to live even more, or what does this do to you?
For me, I think because early on I would have to withdraw from activities, I felt more inclined to be involved in things. And I guess, I think now we call it FOMO, but I always had the fear of missing out on things. And so if I was feeling good, I wanted to be able to experience all the things, just in case I had to miss something in the event that I got sick.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you found ways to keep going regardless of what was going on with you. But now we're going to get to a little bit of olderness. Now you're 18 years old. What happens then? You graduate from high school. What do you decide to do?
Well, I think it's important to look back at my high school career because that changed the way that I moved through the world. When I was 15 years old, I had a very bad crisis that caused me to, I actually went into a coma. I don't remember how long I was in the coma. I just remember my cousin and my dad singing with some guitarist at Children's Hospital, trying to keep me awake because they were afraid. I was in ICU. They were afraid that I was going to slip into a coma. And that's why they were fighting to keep me awake, because I was basically on that verge. My hemoglobin was super low. It had gotten down to a 2.4. And typically, that's very close to death. It means that there's basically very little oxygen in your body that's operating your organs, and so brain damage is very high, or a high possibility. So I don't know how long I was in there, but that changed the way that I kind of moved through the world. After that particular hospitalization, that hospitalization was 44 days long. It's the longest hospitalization I've experienced in my life. But from that point, I was in the hospital every month, twice a month for the next year. And then after that point, it was at least once a month. So my activities were less, and it took less for me to get sick than it did prior.
Okay. You said yourself that we had to go back to this particular time. So explain to us why this time is so important and kind of defined your moment for having to deal with this.
Well, in my childhood, like as I said, I would put my arm in a sling, and then sometimes I could even keep playing, but, you know, I would just slow down. I didn't have my first hospitalization until I was 10 years old. And at that point in time, I may have two crises per year. When at age 15, it changed where I was in the hospital almost all of the time. And it seemed like that was kind of be my way of life. And so if you take the FOMO that I had before, and couple that with the fact that it was known to be likely that sickle cell anemics wouldn't live past the age of 25. Being 18, I really wanted to make sure that I experienced life.
Let's do a huge fast forward now.
Okay.
How old are you?
I am currently 47 years old.
Excellent. You're 47 years old. You've gone through all of that. How do you live with it now?
Now I live well. I'm not as sick as I used to be. I've been on medication called hydroxyurea for the past, let's say 17 years. So that particular medication, at the time that I started it, I was on Social Security disability, because every time I got a job, I was in the hospital within weeks, and it was just a cycle, and so I wasn't really able to sustain income or employment. So this medication, I realized when I did do activities that would normally get me sick, it didn't. So I decided to try going back to work, which I did. I took a small receptionist position. Even though it was full time, it wasn't as high of a responsibility of the administrative assistant position that was also available at that time. I selected the receptionist because I felt that in the event that I did get sick, it would be an easier role to replace.
So you have a job now.
In fact,
you actually have a career.
I do.
And you happen to have sickle cell.
Yes.
Does sickle cell slow you down in any way?
Yes.
Explain that to us.
I think that there are several things that impact a sickle cell anemic's body, depending on the experiences that they've had. One, we know that every single time a sickle cell anemic experiences a pain crisis, there are cells, there is tissue, there are organs or part of organs that suffer, are impacted, and sometimes completely die. I've had two hip replacements. I fortunately still have my spleen, but I do not have a gallbladder. And I've had pneumonia. I cannot count. I wish I had that number, but I don't. I've had it several times in my life. My lungs function differently. There's scar tissue in my lungs, which is very visible. So my breathing is different, which means that my oxygen that flows through my body is different. So I also think that with all of the crises that I've had, the pain medication has impacted the way that my brain works. These are things that are still being studied now, so there's no like proof, but I feel the difference in the way that my brain operates, and I feel the difference on how slow I feel like I move slower when it comes to the things that I do at work.
Okay. So you do have a slower movement in the lifestyle living with sickle cell. What do you do, or do you do anything to make people aware I have sickle cell, or do you move through the world not sharing this information?
I have decided to share the information. I don't tend to share it within my first year of employment because whenever you start a job, you are not protected by FMLA until you have been there for 1 year. So I don't really say anything in the first year. And then I usually, once I hit 1 year, I tell my immediate boss and I tell my team. And honestly, in most instances, I end up educating people. Like I like to teach about sickle cell. I like to help, I guess, create awareness about sickle cell. And some people have heard of it, and a lot of people have not. Or they only remember that one paragraph in their science book back in fifth grade. Because that's unfortunately a lot of people have only heard of it in that from that one paragraph. And they know nothing else about it. They've never met anybody. So I think a lot of people that have heard of sickle cell imagine a sickly, skinny African-American person. I am not that. I've always been thicker. I used to have doctors as a child tell me that there's no way I could have sickle cell because I was not skinny. And so I lead a fairly normal life. But the things that they can help me with is, they know that I tell people instantly that I'm sensitive to cold and that I have to drink a lot of water. Those are pretty much the only things for my office that need to be, I guess, known or modified.
You bring up some interesting details about what you have to do, but let's talk about a typical day. So as a person now, 47, you've lived with it for this long. How does your day, let's say, change, modify, depending on what's going on with how sickle cell is affecting you?
Well, I've had days. I work in commercial real estate. I manage property on office buildings. And there are days that are very physical where I have to walk properties or give tours or do something physical with equipment or looking up, a problem with the engineers. There are days, and there have been days, where I have been in pain to the point that I cannot walk. Like it takes everything that I have to get to my office, and I'm able to get there and function seated, but like getting up and doing a tour, I cannot do. I remember a specific occasion where another department had asked me to go check on a space to verify some measurements. And I was not capable of doing that. And at the time I had an assistant who was aware of my illness and they were willing to step in for me to get that done.
So sickle cell doesn't define you. It's actually something you happen to have. So is there anything you would want to share with the community about their approach to knowing someone who has sickle cell?
I think that's the thing that I would want people to know is that, one, every sickle cell anemic, I've never met another one with my story. And I've met several sickle cell anemic persons, some that are past and some that are still here. But none of us have had the same experience in our lives, from birth to being older. Like, no one has the same story. Also, I think that it's important to know that it's not something that defines you. Just because you have sickle cell, it does not mean that you have like this death sentence at the age of 25 or 45 or whenever. We are capable of living very long lives. And I think that it's important, if you have sickle cell, to know your body and know the things that impact you, because the things that can put us in crisis are also different. But for those that are, I guess, meeting somebody with sickle cell or maybe working with somebody with sickle cell, I mean, they're just people. there's really nothing that special about us. I mean, unless like some people may need like equipment or physical aids, but I feel like everybody in the world has something to deal with, and for sickle cell anemics, it just happens to be that we have sickle cell. So I don't think that it's anything exceptional that needs to be treated with kid gloves. We're human. We still like and want to live and have experiences, and just like, I don't know, everybody has different personalities. Every sickle cell anemic has their own thing.
So every sickle cell person has their own story. So if this is your story now, is there anything else you would like to share?
I think any time that I have the ability to outreach, I want other sickle cell anemics to know that there's always hope. I have had periods in my life, especially in my 20s, where I felt like I was never going to be able to have a job, where I was always going to be dependent on someone, and I felt like a burden. And I think it's important, the thing that helped me was to get to know my body and to work, find competent people in the medical field that were willing to work with me to help me get to a stable point. And I just didn't give up on the research. I didn't let anybody else's answer be my answer. Everything that I tested, I had to feel that it was right within me, and move forward. And so everything that I've been able to accomplish 20 years ago, I never would have imagined that this was my life. I never imagined that I would have my own home. Just so many things in my life that I never thought were capable because I had this ailment. I always thought that I was just going to be doomed forever, kind of, just because at the time, at that age, where everybody else is developing their lives, I was sick in the hospital almost all the time. So don't give up. Keep trying, keep testing, keep prodding, keep asking questions, and keep fighting. You are worthy of having everything that you deserve, and you are capable of having everything that you deserve. We all have our limits, and there are things that we have to accept, but it doesn't have to mean that it's a death sentence or an imprisonment in our bodies.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for actually being here as a guest to actually explore your story.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to look forward to probably having you again sometime to probably probe deeper into questions, but for now we want to say thank you. So thank you, Nicole, for sharing your story.
You're quite welcome.
All right. And thank you all for tuning in to Defining Sickle Cell, and join us next time for more stories with Sickle Cell Warriors. Thank you.